I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
Woo! All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, giving you independent thinkers out there, or those who aspire to be, a safe space. 2 hours a day from 9 to 11 o'clock. I appreciate you joining me today. Next hour, we're going to have Stephen Utroska in with Americans for Prosperity. We're going to do our Freedom and Prosperity Hour, and my opinion of that is we better start carving it out here in Mississippi, huh? Because it looks like on the national level, we may be in for some challenges going forward. So it would be nice to see Mississippi trend more towards freedom and free markets. Because I think nationally, states are going to need to start carving out their own little successes. I'm going to start today with an investing tip. Look, it's kind of a downer day. There certainly is plenty to talk about. Holy cow. I'm still kind of, I guess I'll go through a couple of initial stories. So I'm still trying to how to acceptably approach what took place yesterday and for the last 4 years here on the show. But I'll start off with a positive, and that's an investing tip. This is something brand new we haven't seen before, but if you're an investor out there, if you got a 401k or you got a brokerage account, you do a little trading, a little day trading, it's been very popular this year, you Robinhood traders out there. When you've got thousands of protesters storming the nation's capital and threatening Congress, that is bullish. The Dow was up yesterday. I looked at the markets to see what the markets were doing when all the activity was taking place yesterday. If we can just recap, we got 8 million people that have been crushed into poverty. We've got hundreds of thousands of small businesses shuttering. We've got over 20 million. We've gone up 10 times in unemployment, people that are on unemployment now that were on unemployment at the beginning of 2020. And the market has taken off. And yesterday, as the chaos reaches some level of a crescendo, something that's different here in the United States, the Dow was up over 400 points to all-time record highs. And this bolsters the point I have been making on this show for quite some time. See, everybody talked about, you know, they said when Trump was going to be elected, the market was going to tank. I never understood that. Having a Republican businessman in office, I never understood the idea that that would make the markets tank. So I didn't think it would. And it didn't. But I've said all along for 4 years, it just nothing matters except for the Federal Reserve. It doesn't matter that Joe Biden got put in yesterday. It doesn't matter. See, the stock market generally would look at politics over the course of, you know, my lifetime. This is old fashioned now. But for the last 10, 12 years, the markets used to look and say, oh, my gosh, the Democrats have control. That means higher taxes. That will affect consumers. That will affect businesses, higher corporate tax rates. And so the market would go down on that kind of news. Not anymore. Because they know the Democrats, for all their yap-yap about higher taxes and regulations and all these other things, the Fed will be there to backstop every corporation, flood the economy with endless amounts of money. So the market doesn't even care about politics. It doesn't care about unemployment. It doesn't care about a recession. It doesn't care about anything as long as the Federal Reserve is firmly in charge. And here's another good one. Goldman Sachs is at record highs in this backdrop, in this America here. If you want to know where the scam is, this is where it is. The Wall Street giant share price is on the cusp of hitting a record for the first time in nearly 3 years, a sign of how much the bank has profited from the financial chaos of the past year. Its stock has risen about 19% over the past month, far more than any of its five big bank peers. So Goldman Sachs, the vampire squid, is at record all-time highs, while the morale of the American people is at all-time lows. Unemployment is catastrophic now. I guess they'll give you that little 6.9% number and think you're dumb enough to believe it. But this really tells you, if you want to look at where the power is, as a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, I think you were in the wrong spot yesterday for the Trump supporters. I keep saying it. There's another. If you really want to affect change, oh, look, we'll talk about the breaching of the Capitol and the tone-deaf politicians. Holy cow, the reactions I saw coming from politicians yesterday was just silly. It was ridiculous. It was laughable. A bunch of politicians tweeting out, "I'm safe." I think even Roger Wicker said, "For all of those that are asking, I'm safe." Yeah, that was our first concern. It's always our first concern. That precious cargo, Congress. Our darlings up there want to make sure that they're fine. I do have one thing before we get into this. And again, I look for teachable moments as a libertarian outsider here. And, you know, there's a lot of things that libertarians have talked about for years and years that go unnoticed or ridiculed or scorned or just dismissed. But I'm curious right now, no matter which side you're on when it comes to Donald Trump or what happened yesterday, I think we can all admit it's not where we want America to be. You know, we don't want a contested election. We don't want election fraud. We don't want consternation. We don't want to have to pack up a backpack and head up all the way to the Capitol and spend a few thousand dollars to protest a government that is just becoming more and more illegitimate by the day. We don't want these things. It doesn't matter which side of it you're on. But I'm curious to know how many of you are still in favor of the U.S. deep state going into other countries and throwing elections into chaos. I mean, for me personally, not a good feeling. It's not really what you want. But at least I've been against it being used against Ukraine and Syria, Venezuela, Libya, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Iran. So most people think it's okay for us to dish it out, but we're not really keen on taking it, throwing elections into chaos. Just imagine if on top of that we were blockaded by Russia or China. And we weren't getting medicine in, and we couldn't trade goods, and we couldn't ship our oil out. Just imagine the level of chaos. And this is what our own foreign policy establishment, under Republicans and Democrats, has been dishing out around the world. And I got to tell you, Americans have seemed kind of enthusiastic about it. They consider that American leadership. Well, now that we're on the receiving end of it, I am curious if it wakes anybody up, particularly if you're a spiritual or a religious person. You believe in some tenets of do unto others what you would have them do unto you, those kinds of things, living by the golden rule. Well, the kind of chaos that we saw yesterday and for the last 2 months is the kind of chaos that we have allowed our foreign policy teams under the Obama administration and the Bush administration and the Trump administration and the Clinton administration. This is the kind of chaos we have tacitly supported in all of the countries I just listed and more. For decades and decades, we have done this kind of election tampering to throw them into some level of civil war. And it's always interesting, isn't it? When you stop and look, you know, now that here in America, we kind of know the facts about things, right? We know what the issues are. We know why those people at the Capitol yesterday were angry, right? Was it because Donald Trump is evil? No. Those are actually supporters of Donald Trump. But see, when we see these we see these protests overseas, we have people like Mike Pompeo or Hillary Clinton. When they see violence in the streets or they see huge protests, what do they always say? Look at that. We need to intervene in Ukraine. because the Ukraine government is unpopular with its people. They're treating them badly. We look at Assad. We need to go over there and help the poor people of Syria because the Assad regime has no legitimacy. Look at the protests in the streets. See, we see these protests and they create the narrative for us. We create the chaos. Then the media shows us the people in the streets and we go in and topple a government. And again, Americans have tacitly supported it, and some vocally. Some are excited right now about the potential of flipping the Iranian government, of overthrowing the Iranian government. Well, I got to tell you, I would hope that people would get a little bit of a sense of how bad it is to live in political uncertainty and chaos and maybe not wish that on other countries, whether we like them or not. Tom Cotton came out yesterday and he said, violence and anarchy are not the answer. Yet he has promoted violence and anarchy in every foreign country that didn't go along with everything that Tom Cotton believed. Tom Cotton has been one of these neocon warmongers up in Washington, D.C., ready to foment this kind of chaos in every other country that has a targets on its back. So it's kind of a little disingenuous of Tom Cotton to come out and see. But I guess I can talk about Tom Cotton now. He has now been, for the Trump supporter, he is now a traitor, so it's been unpopular to talk about Tom Cotton, as I have, because he's a neocon warmonger. But now I guess I've got a little bit of cover. I can talk about Tom Cotton. As a matter of fact, there's going to be a whole lot of Republicans I can talk about now. So anyway, we'll get to that. When we come back, I want to talk about some of these tone-deaf reactions from these politicians and Republicans. I watched them yesterday. I watched a lot of the coverage of what was going on yesterday. And to listen to the Republicans call into Fox News and what they were saying was just really, it was pretty stunning. It is, we have an incredibly tone-deaf political class to what's going out here in the country. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com.
So there's all kinds of ways to look at what took place yesterday. We can talk about it, and you can call in and tell me what you think. 601-879-0002. But just one of the things that struck me as I was listening, let's see, who did I listen to? Kevin McCarthy and Representative Johnson from Louisiana. They just listed him. I'm not even sure the guy's first name. He's a House of Representatives guy. I think a young guy from Louisiana. I'm not familiar with him. But there was wholesale condemnation of what took place yesterday. But what struck me really was it was these politicians saying, we're all one family. The idea that, you know, this isn't how we do things as a country. They say, we can respectfully disagree. Notwithstanding all of the Congress critters that were sending out things saying that they were safe, they were assuring their constituents that they were safe. I don't know. It was, and maybe it's just me. Was there anybody out there who your first thought was, oh my gosh, I hope my representative in Washington, I hope my politician is safe. That thought didn't even cross my mind. And I'll tell you right now, right or wrong, I got a perverse pleasure out of seeing them kind of scatter a little bit. And I think I'm supposed to apologize for that. That might make me a bad person. I mean, I don't want our country to have gotten to this level, but, you know, the fact that they're a little on edge and the people have shown that they're angry, it just doesn't bother me a whole lot. I'm kind of excited about it. But what's so amazing to me is that they are so tone deaf that they have failed to realize that ever since the Tea Party 10 years ago, people have been trying to tell them we don't feel served by this government. People on both sides know this is corrupt. 10 years ago, 12 years ago, we had the Tea Party coming up. We had Occupy Wall Street. It was kind of, to me, it was when people finally caught on, hey, we've got a really corrupt system going on in there. And on both sides of the aisle, people started taking to the streets. It was one of the first movements of my lifetime that I saw was really, now, I always thought Tea Party and Occupy should get together, but you can't because they've got us divided. You know, there's always got to be, you got to divide everybody, right? Got to have an equal number on the right and the left. So you had opposing movements. And what happened to the Tea Party and Occupy Wall Street? Well, the Republicans went out and put their loving arms around the Tea Party, said, we really hear you. We hear you, buddy. Come on back in the Republican Party. We'll take care of it. And they did nothing. And the Democrats went out to their Occupy people and they said, oh, we hear your concerns. Come on back into the Democratic Party and we'll take care of it for you. And then both the Tea Party and Occupy Wall Street just, boop, just disappeared, absorbed back into the blob. But the anger was still there. And so this idea that we just have to leave this, oh, this isn't how we behave. We can talk about things, but we don't do this. They are so tone deaf to the frustration of the American people that know that Congress has not and most likely will not serve them in any way, shape, or form. People are angry. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Hey, Mr. Madison.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's so sad about it is, when you, all these people went to war and shed their blood and lost their lives over a joke that we have in Washington, D.C. now.
I understand the frustration, unfortunately, and I'm going to tell in just a second. I think the target was wrong, the whole movement behind Trump, I think, is so misplaced in this idea that he's the savior. I understand the anger and the frustration. There's so much of the Trump movement that I understand, the focusing on him as he is the solution to it, completely escapes me.
It's all his fault. He's the one to put all the people under him in power to do that. If he'd have went in there and got some of the people that were unknown and wanted to change things in Washington, it would might have come out a different tone.
You think you're absolutely right.
It's all his fault. He should have put people in there that was willing to make this country great instead of putting Barr and all them other elitist swamp worms in power.
Yeah. I absolutely agree. And that's the frustrating thing to me is that, you know, the idea is that everybody was against Donald Trump. The media was against him. The deep state was against him. The Democrats were against him. But he hired the same people that had been in that system for decades now. The Trump administration was no different than the Obama administration or the Bush administration. It was the same attitude of people. They were all Washington players. You had an Eli Lilly guy running the Health and Human Services. You had a Raytheon guy at the Defense Department. You had a Goldman Sachs guy at the Treasury Department. I mean, what? At the very least, Trump failed at it. His hiring was so bad, he stopped himself as much as anything else.
Exactly. And today, you don't have a Democrat or Republican party. It's the same party as both of them. And until the people of the United States understand that, it's still going to be the same thing. You're going to have a different word from a Democrat and a different word from a Republican, but they're on the same path towards the money they get from every elite corporation in the United States and now China. And my brother told me when he voted for the first time for Trump, he was wondering if his vote would count. And when he seen Trump won, he said, well, maybe now your vote, it don't even matter anymore.
Yeah, I mean, this is the problem that I have, is that I certainly believe election fraud went on. I think they did a terrible job of proving it, and that was an important part of it. But the bottom line is, I don't believe that a vote for Donald Trump would have given us 4 years of any change. I mean, so whether the vote didn't count because of fraud or didn't count because the system is not changing. Nothing has changed over 4 years.
And I've seen that. I mean, ain't nothing in my life changed for the better. You know, it might be a little cheaper gas, but they take the same amount of money out of my check every pay period. And And they're talking about sending us $600 and $1,200. Just give me 1 year of my $9,000 they take out of me every year. Give it back to me. Just don't let me pay taxes for a whole year. I'll be happy for a couple years.
Not a year. Every year. I am such an opponent to the personal income tax. That would have been a change, you know, instead of giving out $600 or $2,000. I mean, if Trump had said last time, instead of the $2,000, you know, he came back and – well, I'm going to get into that in a second, but you came back for the $2,000. My kind of candidate, someone that I think is a change agent, would have said, hey, we're immediately stopping withholding taxes. The American people need money in their pockets. My preferred candidate would just disband the withholding tax completely. I mean, and make people write a check every month for their taxes. We'll see how long the individual income tax lasts if everyone had to write a check each month rather than just make do on what's left.
Well, I went from a lot of political ideology, but the libertarian way is about the only way that this country is going to survive.
I'm telling you, it is the true liberty movement, and the problem is
free party.
Yeah, people have given up, and the Libertarian Party, it's a train wreck. But there's actually some pretty encouraging stuff we'll probably talk about over this next year that's going on in the Libertarian Party. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. We've tried this two party experiment for a long time. I got to tell you, I looked at television yesterday. Doesn't seem like it's working.
The senator in Oklahoma talked about the their chambers as like some kind of temple.
Right.
I mean, you are a joke.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, they have no idea the disgust people have for the political class. And I mean, and it is not just Trump supporters. If you listen to, I like the comedian Jimmy Dore. He's a progressive, big government guy. I would disagree with him on a ton of stuff. But when you hear him talk about Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Hillary Clinton, I mean, there's a lot of people on the left too that just realize the political class of Democrats. They're tone deaf to their people too. These people don't care about us. They don't care about us.
Not at all.
Hey, thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. Got to run to a break.
All right. Hey, I sent you something on email. You might be interested in it.
Great. Appreciate
thanks,
that.
Sir.
Thank you. Yeah, you can always reach me on email, MikeMadison@WYEB.com. If you got something, I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. Next hour, we're going to have Stephen Utroska in here from Americans for Prosperity. We'll have our Freedom and Prosperity Hour. As I say, we better be working on carving it out here in Mississippi, making us competitive because the nation as a whole, we got some turbulent times ahead, I would imagine. Here is one thing that I saw yesterday that I thought was quite fascinating. If you want to call in, 601-879-0002, tell me what you think about this. When Trump came out with his message of telling people to go home, I saw a lot of anger about that. Now, I'm not really judging that on Trump's part one way or the other. I think he politically, if nothing was going to change yesterday, then he had to come out and say something. But a lot of people were very upset that essentially he led a movement. He said he was going to march up to the Capitol with them. Apparently he did not. He watched what went on and then told everybody to the election was stolen, but go on home. And a lot of people felt that was kind of a quitting attitude. And there were a lot of people. And the only place I found this, I mean, I wasn't out actually talking to people. I wasn't on the radio when all this stuff was transpiring, but I was reading comment sections in places where it is largely pro-Trump websites. And so I guess my question, statement, so what is the plan now? And I've been told for 4 years that there is a master plan to all this and that so many things are going on behind the scenes that this is going to happen. I mean, Trump came out today and said there will be an orderly transition on January 20th. I saw things this morning where people said, I think he's signaling that he's still going to be president. It's just an orderly transition to his second term. This doesn't mean anything. And so people are clinging to these ideas. Look, yesterday, so Pence whiffed, huh? I wonder if only there was some radio show host or somebody who had been out there for the last 4 years telling you that Pence is an establishment dude. He's not a change maker. This is why I was so surprised when he was announced as the vice presidential candidate. To be honest, back in 2016, I said, well, if Trump really is about change and they wanted to actually kill him, a la JFK, Pence kind of gives them cover to do it because they could put the establishment right back in charge. I never understood the Pence thing. I have described him as a cyborg. Still kind of sticking with that. I think it's cutting edge technology. He does appear very human, but I get glimpses of cyborg in him. But anyway, you know, up to yesterday, there was still a lot of faith that everything was well under control. This has all been planned. I've listened to a little bit of a show. I saw a headline. I went to X22 Report and listened to a guy. This was as of January 1st, where he made mention of there was some speech somewhere, and Christopher Miller, who's running the Defense Department right now, said something to Mike Pence about a big military operation, and they were talking about Space Force, which is a big military undertaking. But these people had somehow decided that that was actually secret code, and the great military operation was the fact that Mike Pence was going to step up on January 6th and restore Donald Trump to the throne. And it has been 4 years of ascribing some level of genius and backroom maneuvering, 3D, 4D, 60D chess that Donald Trump was playing for all of this time that was going to eradicate the corruption from our country and give the government back to the people. I got to tell you, it wasn't happening. I listened to the full hour of Donald Trump's phone call with the Georgia people. Oh, disgusting. It was leaked out. It was, you know, gross. But I listened to it. And what struck me about it is that Donald Trump really didn't even, after 2 months, still didn't really have a plan to target in on, to really focus in on a few things where he could have, you know, proven some corruption in the elections and overturned the results. He seemed to be just kind of throwing everything against the wall and seeing if any of it stuck. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Hey, Mike, it's Brian. How are you?
Hey, good, Brian. What's up?
Hey, you know one thing we didn't hear once yesterday?
What's that?
Defund the police.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. You know, when these rioters are on our streets burning, looting, and murdering, and these politicians are shutting down our businesses, ruining our lives, they say we need to have a discussion. But when it shows up at their door, they want the police.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That seems odd.
Yeah, they were praising the Capitol Hill police. And, well, you know, the hypocrisy, and I'll say it on the show every day, on both sides is always stunning, but particularly in this past year on the left when it comes to the riots and everything, is very easy, you know, to see for a vast majority of people. But most people don't like to see the hypocrisy on their side, so it just goes unchecked. The media, the worst of all.
Yeah, it just, to me, it was just screams of hypocrisy that these people that have done this to us are upset because it happened to them. Well, what do they think we've been going through for the past year?
But they're precious cargo, Brian. They're not like us. They're very special. And the halls of Congress are hallowed halls, and it's a temple to their power. And, you know, it's just they're a totally different species.
Well, how come when Black Lives Matter people occupied the Capitol building, it was all over the media. We need to have a discussion now.
No, I think it was Tucker Carlson that came out and was reading some of AOC's comments and Kamala Harris's comments about, well, this isn't going to stop. The people are angry. You know, you have to understand how angry that when they were talking about the Black Lives Matter movement, this will continue and it should continue. The people need to be heard. Well, they didn't really feel that way yesterday, did they?
No. Well, at least now they fear we the people.
You would hope. You know what I anticipate
again.
One of the first things I thought yesterday was, you remember how after 9/11 they hardened all the cockpit doors? I would imagine we are going to see some new construction of the doors on the chambers of Congress. As of today, probably they are putting in something akin to a vault door on those things. It was pretty stunning, actually, to see that they had to push up furniture against the doors to try to keep people out. You would have really thought that security for the chamber would have been more strong, but you're right. I think they're gonna think twice about exactly how approachable they are.
Yeah, exactly, and it's about time that they learned that we ain't going to put up with it anymore.
I agree. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. So anyway, I'm about to have to run to a break, but if anyone, look, it's been a while since I read The Art of War. This has been quoted to me many, many, many times over the last 4 years when I questioned any of Donald Trump's moves, the hiring of John Bolton, the hiring of William Barr, the hiring of some of these people, the saber-rattling with Iran, any of the things that I've questioned over the last 4 years. I was told, you just don't understand. He's keeping his enemies closer. You know, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. He's turning them. All of these great things were going to take place. But as of yesterday, it appears that this is over. And the thing is really even saying this right now, I realize this will not get through to a lot of people. There will be a reason why this didn't happen. But the logical thing is, again, as I said, I listened to that whole hour of Donald Trump talking about challenging the election results with the Georgia people. And what struck me in it, I don't blame him for calling them and saying, hey, look, why won't y'all look at these problems? I don't blame him for that, but what I realized in the course of that call was he doesn't have a focus, and I think that has been Donald Trump's problem since he took office, is a complete lack of focus and commitment to anything. Now, he was great at telling his base what they wanted to hear, but that's not hard. And he engendered a lot of love for that. One of the things I understand from Trump support, he's saying the things that we want to say, that nobody will say. He's calling out the media. Well, I understand that, all of that. But they're words. The ascription of some level of action behind the scenes, that this was all going to work out and all of these things were going to take place. You know, when I've heard there have been 3 or 4 dates where he was going to reclaim the election and he was definitely going to be our president for 4 years. And I mean, people were so sure of that. They kind of looked at me when I said, oh, I don't think he's going to do it. I mean, I see no evidence he's going to overturn this election. There was a surety, almost a smirking at me like, that's just because you don't understand. This is all war gamed out. Art of War, the master negotiator. He's got whoever on his side. Everything's good. And I mean, I've been looking at this for 4 years going, what? There's no evidence of these things. You're reaching out. There are secret signals in a Trump speech. He said this, and that actually means that. And why you can't see it now, and it seems counterintuitive, but what is the plan now? And as far as Art of War, again, it's been a while since I read it, but how's that working out? I'll be right back.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
You know, I saw yesterday that they suspended Trump's Twitter account. I guess he's got to take some tweets down. I haven't seen whether or not he's done that or not. If only there was a talk show host that told him to get off of Twitter a year, 2 years ago. I mean, I still don't get it. This is one of the easiest things Trump could have done. He could have left Twitter a long time ago. Everybody stays on Twitter to complain about Twitter. They stay on Facebook to complain about Facebook. They use Google to complain about Google. I've never quite understood that. And I'll say again yesterday, my message isn't getting out. If you guys want to change anything, you need to really understand the problems, the shrinking middle class, the endless spending in Washington, D.C., the endless wars. They come out of a different building in Washington, D.C. It's not the Capitol, as much as the Capitol is, but that's the names and the faces change. But there's I forget the address of the building. But it's the Echo Building where the Federal Reserve is located. If you really wanted to change things, if you don't like the welfare state, head to the Eccles Building. That's the Federal Reserve that prints up money to support a welfare system in this country. You don't like the warfare state? Hey, you swing by the Federal Reserve. You want to actually change something, that's where you need to go. You don't like all the power that the two parties have, the establishment Republicans, the rhinos that you don't like, they get their money printed right up at the Federal Reserve and they dole it out to their special interest buddies and their cronies, and it's the Federal Reserve. If you don't like the endless debt that's being placed on our children, again, it's the Federal Reserve. I know that's not a sexy topic. It's not a sexy target. There's no name to it. Trump didn't give them a funny nickname. And this is one of my problems with Donald Trump that I've been talking about since he started calling for negative interest rates. Donald Trump campaigned on the Federal Reserve doing political things and sending us into a morass of debt, keeping interest rates too low for too long. But as soon as they started raising rates on his watch, he told them, we need to go back down to zero. They need to go negative. He's been encouraging negative interest rates. So anyway, I mean, it's just one stop you might want to make. And the other is the IRS building. I mean, you want to get free in this country? You're really scared that you're losing your freedoms? Well, when you're a sharecropper, and essentially, I don't know if that's, is that hyperbolic to say that? If you go to work every day and you're allowed to work and do those kinds of things, but then they take a good chunk of what you produce, isn't that, I mean, I'm not a historian. That sounds like sharecropping to me. So this is kind of where we stand. I don't know. It would be interesting to see where the movement is. Boy, the traitor list is huge now, and I believe this is going to, I guess it depends on what Donald Trump does going forward. I don't think he slinks off into that good night. And I know a lot of people, you know, he's got some things, some policy ideas that are popular and could have been better received. I think his personality got in the way. I think he spent 4 years tweeting rather than explaining to the American people the problems we face from his perspective, supposedly an outsider's perspective. So populism is probably not going anywhere. Trumpism itself may not be going anywhere. I'm curious to know now, what happens to the dynasty? You got Don Jr. was supposed to run in 2024. You got Laura Trump is running for the Senate in North Carolina. You've got Ivanka Trump has talked about running for the Senate down in Florida. I hate political dynasties. I can't believe out of a nation of 330 million people, one family is so special and so above the rest of us that they could somehow, you know, run the country from one family. I've never been like that. Even if I was a big Trump fan, I still don't like the idea of political dynasties in this country. We got too many people to choose from. And you got an Ivanka Trump who has been championing paid family leave. Paid family leave. Federal employees get a 3-month vacation from the taxpayer. Anytime they want it, take care of a loved one, whatever. This was actually a Trump policy, so Ivanka Trump. So I'll be curious to see what happens to that. And then what happens to the Republican Party, because I think the Republican Party has got huge problems right now, big headaches, and they deserve some of it. I've spent 4 years on this microphone talking about the establishment Republican Party. I'm not a fan. I used to be just a Kool-Aid drinking Republican, no doubt about that. And Republicans are better on many, many issues than the Democrats are. There's still no doubt about that. But as far as actually, you know, really doing what needs to be done, I don't think the Republicans have been, they've been as tone deaf, just on a different, in a different way than the Democrats. But what happens to the Republican Party now? It is going to be split in a million pieces. Well, two giant chunks. I'm not sure exactly what form it takes. But the list of traitors grew yesterday. I mean, Pence was seen going into Congress yesterday as the savior, the guy that was going to go in there and get it done. For 4 years, people have watched, and Pence has been loyal to Donald Trump, so he's been on Trump's coattails and been a very popular guy. And within about, what did it take him, about 12 minutes yesterday in the Senate chamber, he became a traitor who had to flee for his life, and he's got to look over his shoulder for the rest of his life. I mean, his political career is over in Republican politics if Trump is still playing a part in Republican politics. Tom Cotton. I saw Cindy Hyde-Smith yesterday weighed in, and she actually objected to the results. I don't know. We're dealing with a real deep thinker. But actually, I think it was a good political move. I'm surprised more of the Mississippi reps didn't, because it was kind of like votes against Obamacare. It was very easy for Republicans to vote against Obamacare because they knew it was going to lose. And they get money from the health insurers that wrote Obamacare. And my opinion is, could be wrong, that the health insurers go, oh, we don't care. Go out and vote against it if you want to, so you can tell your constituents you were against this. Who was it? Wasn't Aetna. I can't remember the health insurance company that the executive actually wrote the bill. But this felt like one of those things where a lot of Republicans tried to kind of virtue signal to the Trump base by saying they were going to not certify this election, knowing that it wasn't going to be successful. So there was no harm. They weren't really taking a big risk, but they get their political bona fides with the Trump base. And Cindy Hyde-Smith got on that, so maybe she's okay. I'm interested to see how Roger Wicker and Michael Guest do going forward here in Mississippi. Stephen Palazzo, I guess, was the only Mississippi representative who voted to or was poised to vote to not certify. So maybe he's okay. But the Republican Party, boy, they have got some rebuilding to do. And what I think they need to do is, you know, if they want to be successful, they've got to turn into some of Trump's ideas. They've got to become a more populist party. I don't know if they will or not. Or I think that a lot of them probably think this will pass. Many Republicans who have been on Trump's coattails for the last 4 years, trying to tap into the energy and the money from his base, never really liked him. He's sucked all the air out of the room for the last 4 years. They're probably very relieved to see him gone. It'd be hard to tell who those people are. But where they go from now is going to be absolutely fascinating. It's an interesting time to be alive, no doubt. We'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me.
All
so
right,
much.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Thursday. Every Thursday from 9 to 10 o'clock, we've got our little spot claimed here for the Freedom and Prosperity Hour. We'll bring in Stephen Utroska with Americans for Prosperity. And
I think we're 10 to 11.
10. What did I say?
9 to 10.
Yeah, okay. You're right. It's
been a long first hour.
It's been a long day yesterday. I got to tell you, I was absorbing news all last night. I got up early this morning. It was really, it's been quite a day. Plus, I just got done with it. I only did a 48-hour fast. I do a fast every January. I usually do 5 to 7 day water fast. I only did 2 days, but I got to tell you, I was pretty fuzzy yesterday. I'm probably still just coming out of it. An avocado has never tasted as good as it does when you get done not eating for 48 hours. I got to tell you, best avocado I've ever had. Anyway, we got Stephen Utroska in here, and we're also joined by Cade Yates, and you are also with Americans for Prosperity?
Absolutely, yes, sir. I'm the grassroots engagement director for our state chapter, and so I handle all the grassroots and getting people involved in the issues that matter to them.
Yeah, so. Well, good, and that's kind of why we're here, why you're on the radio, is to kind of let people know what's going on and hopefully get some more people involved. I would think that people are kind of coming to the idea, particularly with what's going on nationally. We have very little control over what goes on nationally. And even though I do national stuff, I've spent 20 to 30 years being fascinated by national politics stuff. To me, it's kind of the sexy stuff. The more important stuff, really, for the daily lives of Americans is in their states and in their cities. And it's probably more important who their sheriff is than it is, who the vice president of the United States is. But we really do get sucked into the professional wrestling aspect of national politics. But I think y'all are actually doing work that matters. I'm just blathering on about things we've got no control over, but y'all are kind of in the fight to try to create some good advantage for our home state here.
Yeah, people forget that we are these United States of America.
Right.
So we are individual states. And so here we are in Mississippi. We've got our own problems that we've got to work out and flesh out. And like you said earlier, we hope that we can make, if we can't solve the things that are going on the national level, maybe we can make prosperity, through the state.
So yeah.
Best we can.
And it's going to be interesting to see, really. I mean, it feels like nationally right now we're at the verge of some level of a breakup. And I don't know, you would really kind of think of it, let's just say we had an election without controversy and Biden comes in. A lot of Trump supporters would be upset that Trump didn't get a second term. But it would be kind of back to an Obama thing, a bunch of conservatives and Republicans mad plotting for 2024. With what we've just seen now, I don't know. I don't feel like we're going to get that kind of that calmness and things are going to settle down a little bit. I think it could get more. So the states are going to be much more important. I think, ultimately, it feels to me like we are going to kind of balkanize here in the United States and you're going to have pockets of freedom. And luckily, the Southeast seems pretty good for still having freedoms and for being, a more conservative area than some of the left coast or the Northeast. So maybe we're in a lucky spot. Now we just got to get the business side of it. And for Mississippi, we've got our challenges here for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. People talk about, another civil war or revolution come. And I think the balkanization of America is the more plausible thing that could happen, something that we could see here in the U.S. Will it happen? I don't know, but I think that's more plausible than the other two.
And probably the best outcome, because you can voluntarily go from one spot to another. You pick your place. I mean, there's a lot of people that have left New York and are going to Florida. A lot of people have left California and they're going to Texas in their own self-interest. Nobody forced them out. They just realized that, they're more aligned with what I want. And what's funny is, a lot of those movements, while it's not a bunch of libertarians moving around the country, it is people seeking some levels of freedom, I think. Freedom from huge taxation in California and New York, freedom from the draconian lockdowns, freedom to operate their business, freedom to not, So, ultimately that's probably the best course we could take.
Yeah, we could maybe eliminate the individual income tax in Mississippi and people would want to come here.
Exactly. There's all kinds of great. I mean, I look at Mississippi like a blank slate. Yeah. Like we've got so much opportunity. It seems like we should be trying a lot of experiments at the Mississippi level.
Absolutely. Yeah, no. And Mississippi, that's one of the things about me is I grew up in Mississippi. I love Mississippi. There is no place I'd rather be. I've had people ask me, are you going to leave? And I'm like, absolutely not. Because this place is a place where we can make it the most free state in America. We can allow businesses to operate. We can allow personal income tax to be out the window. I mean, we have to take our freedom seriously in Mississippi so we can be a marketable state for the entire United States. We need to bring people here who want to open businesses and seek that freedom that you're talking about.
Do you feel like Mississippi right now, because we're a red state, I don't get the sense... and I could be completely wrong because I focus so much on the national. Do you feel like Mississippi kind of puts out that signal? Hey, come here. We got such a low cost of living. The weather is relatively good. The heat is brutal in July and August. But outside of that, we've got, decent weather, real estate. I mean, people that move here from California, they sell their two-bedroom flat in California for $1.2 million and they get here and they look at Bridgewater and they go, oh, my God. Yeah. You know, I can get a $500,000 home here. It's three times the size I had in California. So do you feel like Mississippi does a good job of trying to attract people in based on some of those natural advantages we have for, you know, lower cost of living, those kinds of things?
I'm going to tell you, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Our state has done a terrible job of marketing ourselves as a state that has great land, has, you know, pretty good weather. We have hunting. We have all these amazing things. But unfortunately, our government has not done a great job of allowing businesses to open up without taxing people into the ground. And, you know, I talk to family members and I ask them, like, what's the biggest problem? And they're like, well, my income is taxed. My groceries are taxed. My gas is taxed. Everything is taxed.
Yeah.
You know, we have a long way to go in Mississippi to make ourselves a free state and open up opportunity here. But as of right now, I would absolutely say not. We need to make ourselves more marketable because people talk about brain drain. And honestly, the thing with brain drain is not allowing more film incentives or giving more tax breaks to big businesses or anything. It's about allowing people to open up and use their money how they see fit and, you know, reduce these regulations that the state of Mississippi has put on opening new businesses, because there are new facilities being opened up in states around us, like manufacturers coming from up north where government has just strangled them and they're moving to states like Alabama. Mississippi needs to be that place where we can allow businesses to operate freely, not be crazy taxes, and allow the individuals that work there not to be taxed into the ground, and allow more facilities to open up, like medical facilities, with the reduction of like CON laws.
Right. Yeah. We've been talking about certificate of need laws for a while here when you talk about the hospital bed stuff. That is the sense I've gotten about Mississippi, that they really go all in for a Nissan plant. You know, it's Katie Bar the Door. There's a Nissan plant that's out there, or, you know, I think, you know, there was Amazon was thinking about moving supply. So they really go all in on some of these big corporations. But the real meat of prosperity in Mississippi would be to just give us that reputation where it's an easy place to do business. You know, I think that's one of the big problems with Jackson itself. Jackson is not kind to their business community. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you try to do anything through City Hall or the permits department down there, it's a nightmare. And that's killing Jackson. And that's how I've felt. Like, they pick out their targets, and it's a great ribbon cutting when you can go out there and open up a Nissan plant or a Continental or the new wing on, you know, UMC. Those are great opportunities. But then you got the people who, you know, the what 300 people that want to braid hair that can't open the hair braiding business because of the what is it 300 hours of training you have to braid hair in Mississippi, something along those lines, something ridiculous.
Yeah, it's even worse than that. But I mean, that, you know, that's a great example we like to use about the hair braiders, because it's just, you know, it just
so
seems absolutely, oh yeah, so easy to talk about. But there's so many other professions that are just like that, you know, that people want to use their hands, they want to trade, and then first thing they do, they come in, you know, they you know, get out of tech school, have a trade, want to do something. The first thing we slap them with is, you know, well, here's a licensing fee. You know, we're going to start charging you this. We're going, you know, you did that school in Alabama.
It doesn't transfer.
You know, look, doesn't transfer. You're going to have to come back and hit another 1600 hours, you know, here in Mississippi. So, you know, there's a lot of things we could do just to free us up a little bit.
Well, and that's why I like having you on. And I've had, you know, Aaron Rice with Mississippi Center for Public Policy. I guess he's with the Institute of Justice. Is that what they're called?
Yeah, Mississippi Justice Institute.
Mississippi Justice Institute. And y'all are actually out there doing some of these, you know, filing lawsuits or challenging laws. These are the things that actually do make difference. They don't make the big headlines of some of the other stuff, but that is why I appreciate your organization and Mississippi Center for Public Policy actually, you know, one at a time, like going after each one of these things as they crop up. And I'm sure the list is long. I mean, do y'all have more plans for more, you know, trying to get rid of some of this permitting and these kinds of things?
Oh yeah, we're in session right now. You know, we came back this week in session at the Capitol in Jackson, and we're working very vigorously with lawmakers right now to try to drop some bills to just, you know, let us be free. Remove the restrictions that we have on us. But, you know, not only that, you know, professional licensing, things like that, giving more allowances to people to do things that they want to do, open small businesses, but also cutting taxes, cut spending. We can't just keep doing the same old, we're never going to make it out.
Yeah, I agree. All right, well, we're going to get into some of that. We want to talk about what the legislature is going to do. Again, the Mississippi stuff, I know the national stuff is sexy, but the Mississippi stuff is kind of where the donuts are made around here. If you want to know what your life's going to be like, the fact that Joe Biden's going to be our next president is not a cause for all of us to just sob in the fetal position because we've got business to take care of here in Mississippi. So we're talking to Americans for Prosperity, Cade Yates and Stephen Utrosco. We'll take a look at the legislature this year. And I'm going to make my point about, you want to talk about a free state. I think Tate Reeves has just missed such a huge opportunity to not be a Ron DeSantis in Florida. We're going to talk about some of the Florida numbers when we come back. Stay with us.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
I've spent a lot of time on this show questioning Tate Reeves and his missed opportunity, I think, to have made Mississippi one of the bastions of freedom during coronavirus and sidelined the hysterical woman known as Thomas Dobbs here. I speak for myself only when I say these things. They came out with a story about Florida. And I won't get down into the nitty-gritty of it. Here's why I say this, and I think, Stephen, you and I might have talked about this last time. They are using the terms President Ron DeSantis a lot. I've seen it in a half dozen articles. He's gotten so popular, and Floridians, I mean, people are leaving New York to go to a red state, Florida, under a Ron DeSantis, and a big part of it, the reason is because he has allowed them almost total freedom. Ron DeSantis is almost perfect on this issue. I might disagree with him as a libertarian on other stuff. But he cracked down at the beginning of it because he didn't know what he was dealing with, and COVID was scary and unknown. But as soon as the science started coming out, I hate to even use the term science these days, as soon as we started really understanding this was not Ebola, he reversed course and changed, and his state has done great. And now there's a study out right now showing that Florida's hospitalization right now, and this is with, I think it's been the last 6 months, no mask mandate and no lockdowns. I don't know if any local places have done anything. Do y'all know if, you know, Miami mayor is doing it? But statewide, no mask mandates, no lockdowns. Florida's hospitalization rate is essentially exactly the same as it was during the same period during 2018. I mean, nothing bad has happened there. Tragic deaths. But COVID has not wrecked the state, and he has been the hands-off freedom guy. And I don't understand why Tate Reeves won't do that.
You know what, even nationally, if you look at the numbers, I think the deaths for 2020 are less than the total deaths in 2019.
Yes. So why can't people still see that? I mean, you know, I don't want to go I like some conspiracy theories, some of the big ones. But I don't think every single small town mayor is in on some kind of a New World Order plot. I mean, that's not it. But it's so obvious to see, why aren't politicians saying, hey, the more we know, the more we realize masks don't work, the more we realize lockdowns don't work? Why aren't they changing their minds and reversing policies?
You know, I think we saw, this past year that people want freedom and politicians want power. And there was no better example of that than the medical marijuana initiative that went on and showed that 75% of the people in Mississippi wanted medical marijuana in the vote. We saw that.
Yeah.
When the legislature for 10 years has been, you know, writing that off, not doing anything for it. And, in the last hour came up with, you know, the HCR 39, which put on the alternative to try to, you know, kill it. And then, you know, now again, we're in the last hour after it passes and people are filing lawsuits against it. So, I mean, politicians don't want to lose that power to the people.
But that, but isn't the political handwriting, and this is why I keep saying this about Tate Reeves or any other, isn't the power, I would like to know a poll in Mississippi of who in Mississippi is for a mask mandate. There's certainly going to be some, but I would think it would be along the lines of the medical marijuana bill. Wouldn't you think about 75% of the people in Mississippi don't want a mandate? They may still want to wear a mask, but we are a red state, and maybe I'm in a bubble, you know, being around more conservative, more libertarian people. But it feels like it's such a winning issue for Tate Reeves to come out and go, look, the mask apparently don't work. We're going to be more Florida than this quasi thing between California and Florida, which is what we are, which is, you know, each week he looks at a state map and picks out what counties, I guess Thomas Dobbs go, there's a spike in a mitt, you know, mask mandate there, but it's not working. So wouldn't it be, if politicians want power, if Tate Reeves wants to be popular and get reelected or move on to higher office, isn't the best move to set Mississippi free along the Florida model?
Yeah, well, I don't even have to look at the numbers. I don't have to look at what the masks do. I'm just for freedom.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so,
I agree.
You know, regardless of what, you know, if the data came out, if science showed, you know, if the experts said that masks work, then I think that, you know, the government should come out and say, hey, look, we're publishing
right.
these numbers showing that it works. We are highly advising everybody to wear a mask as much as possible. And I would say, great, thank you so much.
Yeah,
for
thanks for the information.
Yep, and yep. I'll then take my risk however I want to take it, because that's, you know, the freedom that I should have to make that decision. But, you know, when mandates come down and force me to do something, you know, we're still kind of a rebellious country. You know, I mean, we started
our
country. Well, you know, I want to think that we are. You know, we love freedom and we love to be free, and we don't want, you know, a mandate coming down and forcing us. And it makes me want to do the opposite of what, you know, what I'm told sometimes. And so, you know, certainly if the, you know, if the science one way or the other is disputable in any way, you know, just give me your recommendation and let me decide on my own.
Yeah, I absolutely agree as a libertarian. I just think it's an easier sell right now. I mean, what Ron DeSantis did, I mean, Ron DeSantis is no libertarian, I'm sure. He's a Republican, but what he did was he instituted mask mandates and lockdowns thinking he was saving the people. I totally agree with you. I think the best thing that could have happened this year is Fauci could have come out and given us his best opinion, and Thomas Dobbs his best opinion, his big advisories, and the medical community could say whatever they want to and let everybody decide. We're watching people drive in the rain right now as we speak. People will go a little slower. They'll pay a little bit more attention. Maybe they won't text while it's slippery, you know, whatever. But I think these statistics, like from Florida, showing that with no mandates whatsoever, that their hospitalization rate has not changed. These are the easy sells, because the science does not bear out that masks work. Anyway, I'm probably beating a little bit of a dead horse here, but it is a frustration, because I kind of understand sometimes when my rights are stripped from me as a libertarian and wanting to, but I understand it's popular. And so a politician, by taking my rights, is gaining political points. I was totally against smoking bans in restaurants. I couldn't believe the number of Republicans that were on board with telling a restaurant owner who's borrowed $250,000 and committed 10 years of his life to a restaurant what kind of customers he could and couldn't have. I was stunned by that.
Well, you're going to be really stunned when I tell you how many of those Republicans also supported a tax on tobacco.
Of course. I don't think I will be stunned at this point. Back then, I was young and naive. I thought this was back when I was a Republican, and I thought Republicans really were about freedom and limited government. But with this one, my frustration is it seems like it's more popular to give me my rights. That's actually, I think that's almost kind of rare, except for that. And in the case of medical marijuana, it has become more popular in Mississippi to give you the rights to access medical marijuana. It's more popular to give you access to not having a mask mandate. And so I don't understand when people like Tate Reeves or a governor, mayor, or anything like that actually become less popular by doing something that doesn't work in the first place. That's a weird one to me.
It's just that do something mentality.
Right. I agree.
You know, they just think they have to do something. They can't just sit back and let, you know, things play it out on its own. Like the market, they can't just sit back and let the market happen.
Right.
You know, they feel like they have to be involved in it. They have to do something. They can't just let it go.
And Florida is showing you don't.
That's right.
Florida shows you, we don't do anything. It's working out great. I'm sure there's a lot of Floridians probably haven't left their home in 9 months because they're vulnerable. God love them. I wish them the best. Hopefully this goes away. but they didn't have to shut down businesses. There's one other story I'll get to here, and then we're going to move on to some legislative stuff after the break. They've done a study. Let me pull up the story real quick. That people need to understand too. And I mean, here in Mississippi, we're economically vulnerable here, to say the least. We're basically the poorest state in the country. Thank God for West Virginia. They bail us out from time to time. But they've done a study. Economists projected that excess deaths resulting from the economic strain of the pandemic. I hate when they say that. It's not the pandemic that caused the strain. It's the politicians who shut us down. But anyway, will amount to 900,000 excess deaths over the next 15 years. And this is Harvard. What are the groups here? Harvard, Duke, Johns Hopkins. You know, some of the elite universities. These are researchers from them showing the effects of these things long term. So not only is Florida proving that all of the mandates, lockdowns don't work, but they are also showing that they're having a horrible effect that will actually kill, according to this. And it's a weird study to me, but. Three times as many people as have already died by that do something attitude. They're actually, by doing something, they're killing people.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I don't know why they can't just give us freedom and liberty that we deserve. You know, let us be free people. Let us make our own decisions. And you know what? If I make the decision to go out in the middle of an Ebola outbreak and I die, well, you know, I'm an idiot, and I made that decision, right. You know, and I shouldn't have done that, and now I'm paying for it with my own life. But when you do something and make mandates and make orders and make new laws that affects everybody, you know, then 900,000 people die because of you doing something. That's kind of on you.
Yeah, well, the thing is, nobody will ever tie this together. These 900,000 people, extra people, will die over the next 15 years. Nobody will ever connect the two, so the politicians get total, you know, control. This year, we're probably going to see a lot of suicides, a lot of bankruptcies that will be tied to this. Again, I keep being fascinated. Is Bill de Blasio in New York, is he going to be reelected? I mean, is there any way that those, I don't care how diehard left-wing Democrats you are, can you not look at that mayor and go, he's destroyed one of the greatest cities in the world?
Yeah, well, I think it's funny, too. Last show that I was talking about, that the mayor, they don't even want the mayor to come to the playoffs for the Bills.
Right.
Como, they don't want him to come. They're asking him not to come. You know, stay home. Look what you've done to us. We only have 10% of our capacity. Please don't come. You know, so that, you know.
Yeah. Hopefully that takes off across the country. We can start identifying this. You know, find a maybe they'll become some freedom-loving Democrats. Who knows? All right, we're talking to Stephen Utroska and Cade Yates here with Americans for Prosperity. When we come back, let's start looking at the legislature, what's going forward. And there was also some things about the medical marijuana bill. There's still some things in the air about that bill, even though Mississippians have spoken. So we want to talk about that, too. Everybody stay with us. We'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and we are here with doing our Freedom of Prosperity Hour with Stephen Utroska and Cade Yates of Americans for Prosperity. So your main thing is dealing with the legislature. What are things looking like now?
Yeah, so we just went back in session on Tuesday, and it looks like it's going to be a pretty normal session. I know originally, you know, coming into it, we weren't sure if we were going to push it back. You know, Delbert was coming out saying he wanted to delay it by 3 months and this and that. You know, the speaker pretty much stood up and said, no, we're not interested in doing that. If
good.
Congress can meet, we can meet.
Right.
So we started back in session on Tuesday. Basically, his first week and a half is getting bills introduced. So we'll see about 3,000 bills introduced.
So do y'all go through every one of those? Is there a way that you look at them before they're introduced, or do you only find out about them when they're produced?
No, well, we'll be, you know, the ones that we're looking at introducing, you know, we'll know of, you know, the other, you know, 2,000, you know, 800 and whatever, you know, I mean, we don't introduce that many bills, but, you know, the other amount of bills we won't know until they drop. So once they drop, they'll be uploaded online, so we'll know what they, you know, what they are. We'll start going through them as much as we can. We'll try to look at all 3,000 bills. Now, there's some tips and tricks that we know not to have to look at every bill. There's certain legislators, if their name's out beside it, we don't have to worry about it because it's not going anywhere because yeah. It never does. So we can skip those. But, yeah, for the most part, we'll go through all of them. And, you know, certainly once they get into committee and they start talking about them in committee, we'll be involved in those committee meetings and go through there and start talking to people, you know, and making sure we get the good bills passed and we try to stop the bad bills from coming through. But, you know, it's such a long process. It's got to go, you know, introduced through committee, out to a floor vote, over to the other chamber, through their committee, through another floor vote, back and forth. And so it really takes a lot for a bill to get through. But, you know, somehow, you know, bad bills continually get through. So
do you look at every bill and give it a green light, red light, you're either for it or against it, or do you look at one and say, well, this has got some merit, but we certainly would like to see them include this language or change it a little bit? Do you have any?
We'll certainly do that. So they can amend the bills either in committee or, you know, on the floor. So, you know, if we see a bill that we like, it's got good language in it but just needs some tweaks, we'll go talk to you know, committee chairman or just other members to introduce amendments to it, and we can kind of get it. You know, there's a lot of opportunities to change bills as they go through, so much so that sometimes you'll see a bill start out in one topic, and by the time it gets to the very end, it's a completely different topic, and it shouldn't happen that way, but it does.
Yeah.
They'll do strike-alls, which means they, outline, dark everything out on the bill and put completely new language into it. And that's after it's passed one chamber, gets to the other. They can completely strike it out and put new language in it. And then it has to go back, you know, it has to go back to the other chamber to reapprove. But
that sounds efficient. I mean, you know, no wonder government always works so well at every level.
Yeah, it's a lot of back and forth. So, you know, our mission in it is I'm up at the Capitol almost every day during session working on bills, working with legislators on bills and pushing it. But the other side is our grassroots, and that's why I brought Kate in today to kind of talk some about our grassroots. He's our grassroots engagement director. He's on the ground level talking to the people of Mississippi, getting them engaged in the fight. And so I'll let him talk some, you know, about kind of what he does.
Yeah, so what do you do?
Yeah, so my job as grassroots engagement director is essentially giving a voice to the individual in Mississippi that cares about the issues that matter to them, their principled approaches to taxes, healthcare, regulations, any type of issue that you know, we care about and we work with. You know, we are willing to work with them and take them to the Capitol, show them around, introduce them to the legislator, have classes on how to talk to your legislator, how to get grassroots activists to join your community in your area. So if you care about CON laws in your area and you say, hey, I want a
certificate of need. You wonks and all your three-letter things. Yeah,
yeah, they're everywhere. But certificate of need laws in your area, you want a new medical facility in your area, and you say, hey, Mr. Legislator, I want this in my area. And he's like, no way. I will never approve it. Then you get 30 of your friends to show up and say, hey, listen, we're going to hold you accountable, and we want to look at you and say, hey, listen, this is going to make our lives better. And we don't – these facilities that are willing to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to set up a new medical facility don't need a permission slip from the government. If it doesn't work out, if it doesn't succeed, then the market will handle it. And so it's all about building community, building a grassroots movement where these legislators know that the bubble that they're in right now, where they're not listening to their constituents a lot of times. They, you know, I don't think they're evil people. I think they're good people who try to find policy solutions. But unfortunately, a lot of times when you think of these policy solutions, you don't think about how they're going to be enacted on the ground. And so my job as a grassroots engagement director is to say, hey, listen, I care about these issues. You care about these issues. Let's go talk to your legislator. Let's share your story. So with like my mom suffers from multiple sclerosis. And, you know, her legislator, she'll walk into his office and say, hey, listen, I really need this in our community so I can have a better quality of life. And, you know, hopefully that story will get across to him, because it's not about yelling at your legislator or saying, hey, listen, I want you to do this. And if you don't do this, I'm never going to vote for you again. You know, that's a way to do it, but it's about sharing your personal story. And that's why, like, our Capitol Day is so important to us, because it's sharing personal stories with legislators and saying, these are the reasons why my principles and these issues matter.
I will tell you, as a layperson who is really turned off by politics. As funny as it is, what I do for 2 hours a day, I don't like politics, and I'm not particularly a fan of politicians. But I would say out here in, with us lay people, the thought is that these people really aren't going to listen to us. They're going to do whatever they want to. And it was good. I mean, since Stephen's been in here, he said actually lighting up the phones actually does work, that these people Absolutely. Will respond. So you actually have success by people going in there. You can actually change legislation, or they will craft bills around concerns of citizens, actually?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, there's a very powerful voice. I mean, we've talked about in our office that 10 letters from constituents in one area can completely change the landscape of one senator or one representative's mind on a bill.
That's amazing. That's exactly. Good. That's great news.
Yeah, and we have this, you know, thing, the window of opportunity. You know, we have what's right and what's left. And when you have people say, hey, listen, I'm a little bit more right of this, you know, hey, I believe in freedom and prosperity, those legislators will listen to what those people are saying. And if they don't, there's consequences for that, you know, with the ballot box.
So. Yeah.
You know, even in like national politics, you hear about the party whips. You know, there's a minority whip and a majority whip. And those people, they're whipping votes is what they're doing. You know, they're trying to get people to change their vote. Well, that's what we're doing. You know, we're using constituents, using the population of Mississippi, the people, to tell your legislator, you know, how to vote, what you as his constituent want him to vote for. You know, we're a representative democracy, a republic, and your representative should represent your viewpoint. So if he has, you know, 10 constituents, call him up and say, hey, you know, I heard you're going to vote no on this, but we really want you to vote yes on this. You know, give us more freedom and prosperity. Then, you know, that means something. So, you know, that's what we're doing. We're trying to get their votes. We're trying to whip their votes to a bill that we can pass. And so that's why, you know, our grassroots side of what we do is so important, to have people on our side.
Yeah, well, it's glad to know that actually works. I mean, you just feel like the political class is so out of touch. But, you know, and again, I guess, so we don't actually have to go storm the legislature?
No.
It's a little easier than that on the state level? That's good news, I guess.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine text me this morning, and he said, are you at the Capitol? I said, yeah. He said, is it still pretty crazy? I said, no, I'm at the state capitol, man. I was like, no storming of the capitol here. And then he takes back, he said, well, somebody's got to start it. I said, well, it's not going to be me.
I think everybody should put their state legislators on notice around the country. See what happens. Yeah. We're ready to go. We're locked and loaded.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, very interesting. So how do you reach out to people, or how do they find you to get involved? I mean,
absolutely, yeah. So we've got a lot of ways to get involved. You know, we've got a website, volunteerms.com, where you can go on and kind of tell us, you know, how you want to get involved, you know, the issues you care about, and just give us some information so we can contact you. And one of our staff members would contact you and kind of work with you on what issues you care about and how you want to get involved. Because we do everything from phone banks to text banks to going to the Capitol, all these things. And so they can go that way, or they can reach us on Facebook at Americans for Prosperity Mississippi. You can search it, and we'll come right up, and you can message us on there.
So, okay, so here's an interesting question. I've already determined this is interesting. if somebody has an issue that they're kind of passionate about and want to know how to get it introduced or get it through legislature, are you somebody that's a resource for that? And then – obviously, AFP is a limited government, free market group. So if somebody calls you with an idea that's completely contrary to that, then you just are not, I mean.
Yeah, we'd be glad to talk to them and educate them about
it. Yeah, that's not try the right to flip thing to
them. So, I mean, and that's part of what we do. Part of what we do is education. So we educate the public. And like Kate said, we have classes to teach people how to do things. But, you always ask me, you know, how can people get involved? And my first thing is say, well, come to the Capitol. I'm at the Capitol. Come find me, and we'll talk to your legislator. And there's no better way to do that than January 27th, we'll be having our Capitol Day. And so go to that volunteerms.com that Cade mentioned, sign up there and let us know you're interested. And we'll contact you about coming to our Capitol Day. But we'll be up there. We'll have a lunch, and then, you know, tell you a little bit about how you can talk to your legislator, and then take you across, to the Capitol.
Is that a free lunch?
It's free lunch.
Okay, there you go.
So now, because of COVID restrictions, we do have limited seating.
Oh, Lord.
So we are in the city of Jackson. So if anybody's interested, any of your listeners are interested, certainly go on that website, volunteerms.com, fill out the form there, and then we'll reach out to you and try to get you a seat in that if you want to come.
Okay. All right. Well, we got to take a break, but I wanted to come back. There's some movement on medical marijuana. That thing is still kind of bubbling beneath the surface, even though Mississippians passed it. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. Stay with us.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, we are going to finish up here, last few minutes here, with Stephen Utroska and Cade Yates from Americans for Prosperity. The medical marijuana thing, some action going on with that. So this passed, about 75% of Mississippi was for the original 65, which is a good medical marijuana program. What's going on with that now?
Yeah, the Initiative 65, yeah, I mean, it will be the most free market medical marijuana program in the country, basically. Yeah. You know, no restrictions on the amount of licenses that are handed out or this or that, but I mean, it's a great program. You know, we're interested very much in getting it here in Mississippi, not only because of the businesses that will come out of it, but the health care that, you know, people can get from that. But yeah, so the mayor of Madison filed a lawsuit right before the election to try to throw this out, and basically the lawsuit is against the Secretary of State and just contending that he did not certify the ballot initiative in the proper way. So the current language right now in the state constitution that allows for ballot initiatives says that 1/5 of the signatures to be able to put the ballot initiative on the ballot, 1/5 of those signatures has to come from each of the congressional districts. Well, we only have 4 districts now. So if you look at it as it, you know, exactly as it's written, 1/5 of congressional districts, and we have 4 congressional districts, you can only get 4/5 of the amount of signatures that you ever need.
Yeah.
So, you know, anybody who would read that would think, well, you know, we had 5 districts when that was passed, when that was implemented in 1992 in the Constitution of the state of Mississippi. So then, you know, the logical mind would say, well, 1/5 of the old 5 districts.
Right.
And so there was
which is how the campaign was advised.
That's how it was advised. That's how, you know, there's Attorney General under Jim Hood came out. You know, he came out and he kind of ruled on that, gave an opinion on that being the way it should be, that you just base it on the old 5 districts as it was when it was written.
Well, let me ask you this real quick. Is that hard for the legislature to change?
No, actually, the current Secretary of State, Michael Watson, introduced a bill when he was state senator in 2015, introduced a bill to change that language, and it never passed out of committee. And so they've kind of known that this was an issue.
Is this because they don't want the people doing ballot initiatives?
Well, there's that. You know, you can certainly ponder on that. But
okay.
So basically, that's what the lawsuit says. So the mayor of Madison, you know, filed a lawsuit against the Secretary of State. Americans for Prosperity, this Monday, we filed a brief, amicus brief, which is basically just a friend of the court in support of the Secretary of State, saying that, you know, we believe the way he interpreted it is the true way it should be interpreted. And we just advise the court that if you throw this out, you're throwing out 75% of Mississippians' wish to have medical marijuana. And there's other, you know, there's certainly other logical ways, even on a, you know, a judicial front or a legal front, to read this and interpret it in a way other than let's just throw this out and,
right,
you know, would basically invalidate any ballot initiative that
right
has taken place since
this
was passed.
Yeah, so that would unwind everything?
Everything since, yeah. So 2000 is when, after the census, when we lost our district, and so basically anything after that. So there's been 3 ballot initiatives that have passed, but I think there's 2 of them currently maybe that are going on. I know one for the flag, and I think there's one other going on, a ballot initiative that's currently in the process of signature gathering. All those would be invalidated.
Yeah.
Everything. They'd throw it out and basically say, hey, Mississippi, you no longer have a ballot initiative process.
And it's hard, too. I mean, the rules they put in the original one to go around to the different districts and have, you know, you can't do it all in Jackson. It's a very difficult process. So.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they gave you something really hard. And how many people voted for medical marijuana? Do you know?
I don't remember what the total number percentage was, but it was 75% of the the population voted for Initiative 65 over the alternative.
75% of the people who voted,
right?
Yeah, voted for that one. I'm trying to figure out the sheer number of people that Mary Hawkins believes that she can somehow just thwart. That's the way I look at it. It's like she has just decided that these hundreds of thousands of Mississippians who want something, they're all wrong, and Mary Hawkins is right.
Yeah, I think it was around 800,000 was the total amount of people that voted in this election. So you figure 75% of those. So
yeah, and when does that go to court? We're about just kind of running out of time here.
Yeah, it's coming up soon, so the other side can kind of respond to our our sides. I think by the 10th or the 11th, I think 11th is Monday. I think that's when they have time to respond, and then the Supreme Court will rule on it. I don't know how long they'll take. They can take as long as they want. But
and if the Supreme Court rules that it was done legally and everything, then it's off to the races. That's the last hurdle it's got.
That's the last hurdle. We're off to the races.
And a new industry will come to Mississippi.
And there's very strict deadlines that the Department of Health will have to meet in order to do that. So, yep.
And I will say Mississippians' voices will be heard in that moment when we're past that hurdle, because that 75% did say that they wanted this program.
Right. Absolutely. So. And for so many Mississippians who need it.
Absolutely.
I heard a lot of stories over the year that was getting signatures, the people that were just desperate for it to get some relief here in Mississippi. All right. Well, last thing real quick, a website.
VolunteerMS.com or Americans for Prosperity. You can go find the Mississippi chapter. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks for coming in today. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try.